Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. So I took my cues from the Bible school curriculum this week, from VBS curriculum, and I'll be in Matthew 5, extending and elaborating on what they have already taught us. We know that our participants had an amazing week of learning that Jesus is the light of the world. That was part of their curriculum. Learning that Jesus is our hope when we are sad. And also that when people need help, that we can shine the light of Jesus out into the world. Where does this idea come from? Well, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, we read this, and these are Jesus' words. You're the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how could its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything. You have to throw it out and trample it underfoot. Jesus also said, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but instead puts it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. So this is this idea that the people of God come together. They are a community together. They gather together, but corporately together, they embody the life and the light of Jesus in the world. That the light that exudes and radiates, that they exude and radiates from them, gives light to all the house, gives light to all the world. So the followers of Jesus are supposed to be this light to the world. And what that can look like is joy, that can look like assurance, that can look like peace, and it can be about modeling and is about modeling what it means to bring God's kingdom to earth. So many of Jesus' sayings are about that, using metaphor and analogy and parable and story to say this is how we embody it. This is how we embody the mission of Christ to the world. I was thinking about three different ways that we can shine the light of Christ into the world. Because that is sort of like, how do you do that? That seems like a little abstract. Three ways, though, that we can do it in very concrete ways. First, we can be humanitarians in the name of Jesus. We can be humanitarians and Christ-centered activists in the name of Jesus. We can do good things for people who are in need. I'll give you a quick example. In a book called Go Small, author Craig Goss writes, every Sunday, a man named Clive Jacobson from Sydney, Australia, boards a train. He has a leather duffel bag. He finds a comfortable seat, and he settles in for a four-hour journey. He's not on the train to look at the scenery out the window. Instead, what he will do is unzip his duffel bag, get out a notepad and a pen, and he will start writing letters. The letters he writes will find their way to distant places like Zambia, South Africa, Thailand. Clive is writing to international prisoners. He writes to inmates because, well, at one point he was one. Back in the mid-60s, Clive spent a small amount of time in jail for a relatively minor offense, but he never forgot that sense of loneliness and isolation and abandonment when he was in prison. So it seemed natural to him that when a letter-writing organization contacted him in 2002 about sending letters to inmates abroad, that he would seize that opportunity. The organization told him he could write to more than one inmate if he wanted to, so he decided to start writing to three inmates internationally. As his correspondence went on, he began to develop relationships, however distant, with these men who were incarcerated. So he decided to up the number of letters that he would write to four. Then it became 10, then 20, then 100. Now Clive maintains written correspondence with more than 550 prisoners abroad. Many of them live in places of extreme poverty, no opportunity to get out of that poverty. Many of them probably in jail because of political persecution or because they did something to feed their family and they had to break a law to do that. Clive understands who they are and where they have been, and his heart goes out to them. He says, there's no, he's quoted in the book as saying, they can't undo what they've done, but no one is beyond redemption. So Clive's letters are like light in the darkness, and that's one very concrete way we can shine light out into the world, is we can be Christ-centered humanitarians. Very powerful. Secondly, let me take a sort of a different trajectory here. We can shine Christ's light strategically. Some of us are like, I'm not a letter writer. How many of you are? How many of you aren't? Some of us are like, well, that's great, but I don't write letters. I don't even remember to write my mom during her, like, I have to remember to text my mom on her birthday. That's about as much writing as I do these days. But sometimes I can think strategically about how to accomplish, how to get from point A to point B. There are different ways to shine Christ's light in the world. So think strategically. Someone who inspires me to think strategically about shining Christ's light out into the world is a Nobel laureate, and his name is Muhammad Yunus. Now, years ago in the 50s and 60s, Yunus immigrated to the U.S. from Bangladesh. He managed to get a PhD in economics from Vanderbilt. And then he went home to Bangladesh, and there was a famine, and he was touring a village, when he had a vision of what could be. He struck up a conversation with a woman who was weaving bamboo furniture, and he learned that in order for her to make a living, she had to buy all her bamboo from a local supplier who jacked up the price, such that essentially she was an indentured servant. He jacked up the price and charged, I think it was 10% interest a week. And so by the time she got done selling her furniture, all she could do was buy a little bit of food and pay off her debt and her interest. And so at the end of the day, she really had no profit. Well, here's Yunus from Bangladesh with a PhD in economics from Vanderbilt, and he thought, I think we can do better than this. And he put together an idea. For a small amount of money, he decided, we could bundle loans for this entire village and charge them a reasonable rate of interest, and then they could actually earn a living with dignity. And so he bundled the loan together for the entire village, the entire amount of the loan that needed to be extended for the entire village was $26. That's all they needed to do. And so they loaned the $26, and pretty soon, with a reasonable rate of interest, everyone was standing on their own financially, and they were able to pay back the loan and make some money for themselves. Now, he thought, we can do this all over the country, but he found out that no bank really wanted to loan money to these poor villagers, and nobody wanted to bother with $26 loans. But in fact, that's exactly what was needed. So he thought, well, if there's not going to be a bank to do this, I'm going to start my own. And he did. It's called Grameen Bank. And they do microloans, really, really small loans. But by the end of the early 2000s, they had so many of them out there that they had $4 billion in loans, 98% of them to women who just needed a little bit to make a living that was fair and self-sufficient. And they have a very low rate of default because they don't loan to individuals, but groups of individuals will hold each other accountable for success. And in 2006, Yunus and his bank won the Nobel Peace Prize. What an amazing way to do good. And you know, there are Christian organizations now that do microloans, because it's such an easy, smart way to shine the light of Christ out into the world. In the U.S., there's also an organization called Give, Send, Go. Those founders are Christians. They are essentially fundraisers. They help people fundraise for causes, and it's an online service that people can use. There's a cause here, or relief is needed here. You can use Give, Send, Go. And that is something that started out of a sense of wanting to do good into the world strategically. So here we have lots of different ways to, we've got this idea of humanitarian, Christ-centered activism, right? We've got the idea that we can think strategically in the world. We can use our business brains to come up with ideas to provide relief for people, and in so doing, shine Christ's light out into the world. And finally, we can just be good people. Very simple. We can just be good individuals out in the world. Have you ever been around someone who just reminds you of good? Think for a moment. There's somebody in your life that just, you bump into them, or maybe it's somebody in your history, maybe it was somebody where you were raised. They just reminded you of good. How did you feel when you were around that person? When I'm around people like that, I often just feel calm. I relax. I feel peaceful. I know they're not judging me. And it's almost like having the sun shine at just the right amount on my soul. Many people felt that way in the presence of Fred Rogers, otherwise known as Mr. Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, who was, by the way, also a Presbyterian minister up in the Pittsburgh area. And through all kinds of skits and parables, Mr. Rogers sat in his imaginary TV house, public TV, in his cardigan sweater, and calmly explored facets of life in a way that made sense and felt safe for small children. And he won an Emmy Lifetime Achievement Award in 1997 because, essentially, he was a good person, and people noticed that. One of his life lessons came from his mother, and I think this is a good life lesson for us to remember in today's society, where there is so much worry about some of the chaos and uncertainty of our lives. He said, he's quoted as saying, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping.'" And in fact, what he became was a lifelong helper. He helped children and adults find a more gracious and peaceful way and calm way to move through life. And that is another way we can shine the light of Christ out into the world. We can be the kind helpers. We can be a presence of good. And so, thank you for the opportunity, VBS staff, to flesh out some of the assignment that you gave me. I hope I'm fleshing it out well, and ways that we can shine Christ's light out into the world. I'm grateful for our staff and our participants for calling our attention to the scripture passage this week. And I pray that we can all be inspired this week to shine Christ's light out into the world. And may we pray right now. Almighty God, our students learned this week that your Son Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is our hope. And yet that Christ dwells in us. And I pray, dear God, that each one of us would become a light into the world. We can do it by finding areas, points of leverage where strategy is needed to get from point A to point B, to provide relief for human beings who need relief, who need justice and hope. We can write to those who are in prison, or feed those who are hungry, or continue to send food over to the food bank and be Christ-centered activists for justice and for peace and for righteousness, but also for compassion. And finally, dear God, we can just be a presence of good in the world, filled with your Holy Spirit. We can exude the fruits of the Spirit into the world, and the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the self-kindness and the righteousness and the kindness, dear God. And so we thank you, dear God, for that, for this opportunity to explore what it means to be a light in the world. And I pray, dear God, with the energy that you have blessed us with this morning, with our participants and our staff, that you would empower us this week with a new sense of what it might mean to be yours, and to share what it means to be yours with others. In the name of Christ, amen.